Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punt, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a national treasure, even in countries he's never visited. Go figure.
Welcome back. Scott Hamilton Show on Thursday. We'll need like 20 televisions for this weekend. You know, the good news, Trent, is that the games are parceled out pretty well. So yeah, we're not going to miss a lot.
No, there's a good game on every hour, it seems like.
That's outstanding. I'm wondering if it's unprecedented. Joining us on the Say Time I Guest hotline is an award-winning journalist and author who's covered college football for more than 40 years. It's Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart. Tony, good morning.
Good morning.
Buddy, I'm beside myself for this weekend, and I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. I'm not going to say it's the biggest week in SEC history or even the biggest week five in SEC history, but Tony, is it perhaps the most intriguing week five we've ever seen considering the depth of storylines?
Well, I wrote for the SEC Network that I'll file this a little bit later on today, is that I've been doing this a long time. This is certainly one of the most impactful weekends that I've seen in doing this for 45 years, 46 years, because you got a top 10 matchup, Arkansas and Georgia. You got a top 12 matchup, Ole Miss and Alabama. You got a number 10 Florida team going to an undefeated Kentucky team, and so much is going to happen this week. It's one of the better weekends I've seen doing this.
Yeah, it's just the depth is amazing. And I'm looking at these matchups, Tony, and there's some sneaky good games here. I mean, even that Tennessee-Missouri has my attention, but gosh darn it, the top of it is just so heavy. It's incredible. And a team I've been talking about for weeks is Arkansas, and what they're doing out there is just amazing. And I'm wondering this, did anyone other than maybe Sam Pittman see them turning this thing around so quick?
I don't think so. You got to remember, it wasn't that long ago that Arkansas had a 20-game losing streak in the SEC. Sam Pittman came in and broke that streak last year. And what they do is they play tough, physical football. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Let's just face it, they smack Texas and Texas A&M in the mouth and control the line of scrimmage in that game. Now, can they do that against Georgia? That's an entirely different question.
You know, we see teams turn it around like this often, and they'll do it for 1 year, and they'll be the team du jour, the team we talk about, and then they can't sustain it. How sustainable is this, though, what's happening in Arkansas?
Well, it's certainly a lot more sustainable now that they've beaten Texas and Texas A&M in the same season. Because when Arkansas has been good, they've recruited the state of Texas very well. So that was a big thing. Sam Pittman is a great recruiter. Don't believe me, ask the folks at Georgia. He had 4 great years there. And so, I think they absolutely can sustain it. And he takes a lot of pride in what they've been able to do in a relatively short amount of time.
You know, Sam Pittman was a sneaky good hire. I mean, he wasn't a sexy pick. He wasn't a big name or anything like that. But it seems to me that the people at Arkansas absolutely nailed it. I'm wondering this, are we going to see other people try to emulate whatever formula they used to identify Sam Pittman as the perfect guy for their program?
Well, the hire of Sam Pittman completely goes against the grain of conventional wisdom now, because right now conventional wisdom is if you're going to hire a new head coach, you got to go find a Lane Kiffin or somebody who is a wizard on offense. An absolute. What Arkansas did is they hired a guy with a lot of experience who the players love, who instills discipline, and he goes out and hires 2 rock star coordinators in Kendall Briles on offense and Barry Odom on the defensive side of the ball, and that has worked out well. Again, it's still early.
Still early. We're joined by Tony Barnhart. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. CFB. And let's talk about Barry Odom a little bit. And it seems to me that he has to be the front runner, appropriately enough, for the Broyles Award. How big of an impact has he had on that program?
Huge. And if you ask Sam Pittman, which I was on a conference call with him last week, that he's the best defensive coordinator in the country. I mean, he has dialed up every team they've played, he has dialed up the right calls at the right times. And Jimbo Fisher told me, when you go against Barry Odom's offense, defense, you have to cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and account for everything, because he is hard to work against.
You know, they're going to be playing a Georgia team that probably has the best defense in the country. And, you know, the offense is still trying to figure out its footing, but they're having problems up front, it seems to me, more than anywhere else. How far behind is Georgia's offensive line when compared to the rest of the offense?
That is the issue they're the most concerned about. They're getting healthy. The other concern was wide receiver, obviously, where George Pickens got hurt. But they've got some talent there, and that talent and the guys who are hurt, they're getting healthier. The issue is an offensive line that is going to gel, but they haven't gelled yet, because Georgia's got one of the deepest running back rooms in the country. I mean, they are really deep at that position, but they haven't been able to run it as consistently as they would like. It'll be interesting to see how they do Saturday.
What are you hearing out of the quarterback room at Georgia right now? I know JT Daniels has had some health issues, has a lat problem now, I think is what Kirby said.
Yeah.
And then he had an oblique, a love handle issue. Stetson Bennett stepped in, played pretty good. What are you hearing for this week?
Basically, they're saying he's going to be fine. He's practiced. It's more an annoyance of anything else, but you know, that means he's fine to start the game. What we don't know is how uncomfortable Arkansas is going to make him during the course of the day. How much does he get beat up? But when JT Daniels is in there and he's healthy, he is a very effective quarterback, and it'll be very important to take good care of him. Let's put it that way.
Tony, let's shift gears a little bit. We got Florida at Kentucky. Kentucky 4-0, and I've been harping about this for a couple of weeks, still unranked. That blows my mind. How undervalued are the Wildcats right now?
This is a sneaky good game, okay? These teams have been playing tough games against. Remember, a couple of years ago, Kentucky finally beat Florida to snap a 31-game losing streak to the Gators. They still haven't beat one in Lexington since, like, 1986. This is a very sneaky good game, and Kentucky's sort of been they've been wobbling a little bit the last couple of weeks, but this is the game they've been pointing to. It's really going to be electric in Lexington Saturday night.
And I know they've got a sellout, and I'm familiar with that Kentucky program. And I'm wondering this, though. They've got a Kentucky team that's finally showing a well-rounded offense, and they've got this stage. Could this be a program-shifting moment for Kentucky? Maybe the biggest since Tim Couch was there, or at least since Rich Brooks had that nice run at the end of his tenure. A win for Florida, what does it do for Kentucky going forward, not just this season, but next season and years after?
Well, the issue in the SEC East, well, it's Georgia and Florida and everybody else. And now Kentucky's been to five straight bowls. Well, we want to be in that top two or three. But in order to do that, you got to beat the teams ahead of you. Well, we all picked Georgia to win the SEC East and Florida second. Kentucky can make its statement and say, hey, we are ready to assume that next position. It would be a huge win, momentum builder for Kentucky.
Joined by Tony Barnhart. And, Tony, just a couple more questions. And, of course, I have to ask you one of the bigger questions. Nick Saban, 23-0 versus former assistant coaches. It includes 1-0 versus Lane Kiffin last year. Is this the week the pupil gets the master?
No. No, I still like – listen, Nick Saban, since 2008, his second season, is 84-5 at home. They've lost five games at home in 13 years. Now, when they did lose, they lost to the other team had a great quarterback more often than not. You got three Heisman Trophy winners in those five losses. Right there, and Matt Corral is playing lights out. I just don't think I think it's going to be high scoring. I just don't think Ole Miss has enough to win the game in Tuscaloosa.
I saw an over-under at 80.5 this morning.
Yep, that's right.
Tony,
that is right.
Texas A&M, it's my last question for you, Tony Barnhart. Texas A&M been pretty underwhelming so far, but still 3-1 and ranked 15th. I don't think that's quite good enough given some of the expectations we had for the Aggies coming into the season. How much pressure is on Jimbo right now?
Tremendous amount of pressure. This is a crucial game against Mississippi State, and here's why. You've already lost one game in the SEC West. Lose another one, and what that essentially means is even if you beat Alabama next week, Alabama's got to lose twice. You know what? Alabama's not going to lose twice. So to me, this is a game A&M's got to win and to get ready for next week's game with Alabama.
UConn Vandy, who you got, Tony?
Somebody's going to win this game. I think that is the best prediction that I can make. Somebody will finally get a win. Randy Etzel, the coach at UConn, is on the golf course this morning. I bet he's glad he's there and not coaching in this game. Bless their heart.
Bless their hearts. He's an award-winning journalist and author. He's covered the college football game for more than 40 years. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. CFB. Tony Barnhart, buddy, it's been a pleasure. Appreciate you coming on today.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Thank you, sir. It's the great Tony Barnhart. Follow him on Twitter at Mr. CFB.